We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Overnight America. Ooh, yeah. It's a Sunday night, 11:06 here in St. Louis, Missouri. It just feels weird to be back. I don't know what it is. Even it just seems like 2 days, even though it's two long days, and I had a lot to do between these 2 days. It just always feels weird to do that first opening of the week. But I'm happy to be here with you. This weekend, I read At Your Service. It was a book that came out in the late 90s. Kevin Colleen held a copy for me. Well, then hold on to it for me, but he allowed me to borrow his copy, and I'm just about done reading it. Really cool, fascinating things about KMOX in there from when they were credited with starting the all-talk format, the talk format in 1960, how we know it today and how it changed radio. Oh, boy. So I got a lot to share with you on that. In my blog this week is an audio interview of Jack Buck and John McCormick, the man who walks and talks at night. Part of it talks a little bit about John McCormick. Apparently, he would come in, the producer would lay out all of his news stories for the night. He'd turn the lights off. He had like a little towel, and he would lay out like 10 cigarettes, just very neatly lay out 10 cigarettes. And through the late night hours when he was broadcasting, he would, you know, read and add commentary to the things the producer set out for him. He would smoke those 10 cigarettes, and he would just do that. Back when you can smoke inside of a studio. It's been a long time since you've been allowed to do that. A long, long time. But if you want to hear Jack Buck's interview with John McCormick, it's going to post tomorrow morning on KMOX.com in the column section. Or better yet, whatever podcast app you have, subscribe to Overnight America. You can get it right now if you want to. Get it early. It's just that blog portion of it. But still, I think you would like it. If you don't have a favorite podcast app, download the radio.com app. You can get it right there. Radio.com app. Just search Overnight America and hit subscribe once you find it. You get all of the show for free. Any part of the show, you get it right there. Any part you want, you got it. Roy Orbison even sang about it. Any NASCAR fans that may be listening right now, Daytona 500 happened earlier today. I don't watch NASCAR. The first thing I did when I walked into the studio to check in and see how Cole was doing. He was producing at the time. I said, oh, what's going on? He's like, hey, did you see the Daytona 500? No. What happened? Oh, a bunch of people crashed. There's only like a dozen that actually made it through. I'm sure he was exaggerating or whatever. It made me wonder, for all the NASCAR fans that are out there, do you like it when they crash or do you hate it? Is it just the outsiders, the people that don't watch racing, that likes a good crash? Made me wonder. I feel like most people that really follow NASCAR hate it because it takes out some of their favorite racers. It may make it harder for you to actually sit down and watch it because of all the delays. Oh, another crash delay. Oh, another caution flag. Oh, is this race ever going to end? And then it starts raining. Oh, and you ever had a race that went from a Saturday to a Sunday to a Monday because of the weather being so terrible? That happens every once in a while in NASCAR. There's nothing worse than a Monday race. But I think most people, when they watch racing, if you're a hardcore fan, and I've known a lot of hardcore racing fans, they want that to leave. They don't want the crashes. I'm just curious if you watch the Daytona 500, if you want to give your thoughts on that. 314-436-7900 is the number. Or 800-925-1120. Maybe I should push my voice deeper like John McCormick, and that would work. Maybe I'll start smoking in the studio. I don't even know if you're allowed to vape in the studio. I just don't think you should put any of that stuff in your equipment anymore. There was one radio station I visited, and someone told me this story. I don't know if it's true or not, because I actually talked to someone else at that radio station, and they said, no, I've never heard that. When I don't want to say what station it is, but when they built a brand new facility and all of the top of the line equipment, their morning show was so popular, they wanted to cater to one of the morning show hosts who smoke. So they basically put in commercial grade ventilation in order to allow him to smoke, but it just removed the smoke immediately. It was like casino grade ventilation. So even long into the 2000s and probably early 2010s or so, there was still some smoking in at least that one studio. If it was legal or not, who knows? And every once in a while, you'd see a picture of a celebrity going into that studio and smoking. Maybe they tried to play it off as a, oh, at least the celebrities are more comfortable when they come to our radio station. Got a couple of other things to get to this hour. Johnny Rabbit, we're going to talk to him about some neighborhoods across St. Louis. And there's a story on CBS this weekend about neighborhoods. Oh my goodness. I wanted to start crying. I was so proud of that neighborhood. It made me feel like what a slacker I am for not knowing everyone that lives on my block. I just felt like this neighborhood was doing it right. So we're going to talk St. Louis neighborhoods with Johnny Rabbit and then some neighborhoods in general. There's a couple of other stories we're following from this weekend. We'll get to in the show. Two of the bigger ones, the hate hoax. Now, who saw that coming, huh? Yeesh. Well, pretty much anyone that looked at it and said, no, this doesn't add up. And Bill de Blasio talking about the Amazon deal where Amazon's now saying they're not going to build in New York City in the Bronx area. So we're going to talk about that too coming up because apparently Ocasio-Cortez doesn't exactly know how incentives work. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. I got a couple of stories to get to here. I know if Amazon's looking to buy something, there may be something for sale for them to purchase. Kind of interesting. Bill de Blasio, New York City mayor, suggests that Ocasio-Cortez has no idea how incentives work. All right, so this is funny. And they really had a field day on pretty much all of these Sunday shows. Even Chuck Todd was making fun of her for this. So she insinuates, let me see if I can find the tweet. Let me read it for you. Ocasio-Cortez, here's the tweet, responds to criticism that by Amazon pulling out of HQ2 in Queens, 25,000 jobs were lost. We were subsidizing those jobs. She says if city-state was willing to give away $3 billion for this deal, investments can be made in hiring teachers and fixing the subway. Oh, how about that? So what you're offering Amazon, keep in mind, I liked how Bill de Blasio answered this with a little bit of class. He came out and said, for that $2.8 billion tax break in subsidies, now it wasn't just giving money to Amazon, they believe it would have resulted in $27 billion in tax revenue. So you give some tax breaks for a large company like Amazon to move to your spot, and then because of those incentives that got them to move there, you reap the benefits of having 25,000 people working in your state, which they say would result in $27 billion in tax revenue with them after paying the taxes or whatever it is. I would be skeptical that their math is correct. I mean, Amazon does an excellent job of evading taxes. So I don't know if that would be necessarily true, but $27 billion, let's say it's just $20 billion or something like that. Apparently, Representative Ocasio-Cortez believes that once you, an incentive somehow is money in the bank, which they can spend however they want. It's prepaid. Not exactly. So go ahead, take that money and spend it on subways. Okay, so how are you going to raise the revenue in the state in order to make it so you can spend it on subways? Nah, she doesn't know. I think that's pretty funny. So you find this at Fox News is the one that reported this, but you can find it pretty much everywhere. Suggesting the critics of the potential Amazon campus in New York City got the facts wrong over the money behind the tax breaks. That's still a ton of money. I want to think that here's one thing that Bill de Blasio, and I don't agree with him a lot, I don't think on anything really, but there is something he said here that is 100% true. And this is what I was saying. Why even bother? I mean, St. Louis may have dodged a bullet with the way Amazon is acting like divas. I mean, they are complete diva mode and everything that they're asking for. And then you put an agreement in front of them and they say, well, actually, we're going to take half of what we're going to offer you off the table, but we still want the same agreement amount. Now you have to make a decision if it's, you know, if you gave your best offer to begin with, are you still going to be able to give that offer, whatnot? You're going to put St. Louis in a terrible position. Then think of all the power Amazon would have came in and started swinging around. And how would you like to be on the chain for a company that's constantly going to be threatening to pull out of your community and take those jobs somewhere else over and over and over again, unless you just keep feeding them more and more and more and more? They're acting like complete divas. They're not a good, they are not a good partner to work with. This is what they're proving in New York City right now. So we watch this from afar. We look at the problems they're having, and we can say, man, maybe we dodged a bullet. It's not like we could have just took those jobs and everything would have been hunky-dory. We'd have just lived in sunshine for the rest of our lives. It looks like, man, we would have been, it would have been a lot of high-maintenance drama in order to constantly walk a tightrope as to not upset them. You know, we want people we can work with. We want people that want to invest in the community. We want good people here. Amazon's showing that they are not good people to work with based on how they're negotiating and trying to work around New York City. So here's Bill de Blasio said, bottom line is this was an example of an abuse of corporate power. They had an agreement with the people of New York City. And he's right. They had an agreement. They said they wanted a partnership, but the minute there were criticisms, they walked away. What does that say to working people that a company would leave them high and dry simply because some people raised criticism? And why would Amazon take Ocasio-Cortez seriously to begin with? I mean, this is a legit large juggernaut of a company. Like, they're really afraid of someone that doesn't know what a tax incentive is. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Chris Cuomo, the governor. Not Chris Cuomo. Cuomo. Lashed out to fellow New York politicians over Amazon's change of heart, saying the project would have helped diversify the city's economy, cement its status as an emerging hub of technology, and generate money for schools, housings, and transit. A small group of politicians put their own narrow political interests above the community, said. I think Governor Andrew Cuomo is just looking at this pretty narrowly, too. I think Bill de Blasio is looking at it the right way, which is, hey, we did everything that we were supposed to do. They wanted to work with us. They picked us. They were going to build with us, and then they decided to leave. So I wonder if they actually signed anything or if it was just a handshake. Remember when the election was going down in November and we were doing coverage here on KMOX and we had Steve Futterman? No, we had someone from CBS News in, and I just can't, I'm blanking on his name right now. And he was in studio, and we were talking about this. We were talking about the Amazon deal, and right before the midterm election there, right before it, Governor Andrew Cuomo came out and was talking in, or Bill de Blasio, they were talking about how, oh, we made this big deal, and Amazon, they're going to split it up. And all this Amazon news came out right before the election. And their speculation was, well, I wonder if they're leaking this because they think it'll help him get elected, Bill de Blasio. I wonder if it'll help their election causes, you know, coming into the midterm. He thinks this would be a big win for Democrats if we show that, hey, we got the job done. Well, just a couple of short months later, wow, it really looks like the job is done. Now, I understand that these things happen, too. I mean, there's a lot of, like, look at Foxconn up in Wisconsin. They may not even be building up there anymore. And this was one of the big things President Trump touted as major economic growth in the country. That may not happen anymore. So, I mean, I understand these things happen, things change, but this is a little bit different. This is I think, a company getting cold feet and playing the diva card. And who knows if they even know what they want, you know? Maybe if Amazon's looking for recommendations of things they can purchase because, you know, they got all the money in the world, a new petition to sell Montana just came up. Don't sell it to Canada. Sell it to Amazon. Just Amazon. You can own Amazon. You can just own Montana. Buy a state. Forget about moving 25,000 people here, 25,000 people there. Just take all 50,000 to Montana. So a modest proposal came out, a change.org petition proposes selling Montana to Canada for $1 trillion to help pay off some of the national debt. I think this is hilarious. So far, 1,000 people have signed it. Says, we have too much debt in Montana is useless. So here's a couple of questions. And someone from Montana wrote this. Kristen Inbody from the Great Falls Tribune wrote, first off, number one, how dare you? Here's some of the concerns she brought up. You trying to hurt our feelings? Does Canada have an extra trillion? Do they even have an extra trillion? I don't think they do. Would Montana still be named Montana, or would it be Southern Alberta, or better, Saskatchewan? Can we take Yellowstone National Park with us? Ooh, boy, that might be a deal breaker. Why not Alaska? It's not even touching the other states. Good point, Montana. Why even bother with it at this point? You can just, hey, you know what? Alaska, it's all yours. Canadian football, really? July 1st versus July 4th for national holiday. Whatever. But Thanksgiving in October? What? It's a deal breaker for them, too. So is $10,626,000 an acre fair? Some of those acres have skyscrapers. Okay, one of those acres have skyscrapers. And a million of those acres are Glacier National Park. Would we have to drop our speed limits to match the slow pace of Canadian travel? Because that might be also a deal breaker. Do they just travel slower in Canada? What line comes after, oh, Canada, the national anthem? Than all the other lines. Apparently, they don't watch hockey in Montana. I've watched enough of the CBC when I grew up outside Detroit. We had the CBC as one of our local television channels, so I used to watch all the hockey games in Canada. So you'd hear the national anthem over and over and over again. I'm pretty sure I still remember all the lyrics. How about Canada becomes North Montana? Well, that's pretty good. Just change Canada's name. Now, that's the American way. How much to take North Dakota to? Montanans keep their guns, right? Oh, they better. Would this help the Missoula Curling Club get dedicated ice? And are we talking a trillion Canadian or a trillion American dollars? Good point. Make sure you get that in writing. So Amazon, forget it. Just buy Montana. You can own the state. You can have your own government regulations. Look at that. You can just sign yourself and hey, you're not paying taxes already, so go ahead, just get in there and just funnel the money back to yourself like any good politician would. Coming up next, Johnny Rabbit's going to be joining us here. We're going to talk about the neighborhoods of St. Louis, a big presentation of his coming up. And then another story about neighborhoods. CBS had one over the weekend. It's so touching, so touching. We're going to get to that too. And if you want to join the show, you can always text in at 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. It's 11:33 on your Sunday night going into Monday morning. We are live in St. Louis, Missouri, broadcasting from border to border. I loved hearing the stories of people listening in other countries. It was amazing. You know, in that book I just read, the one Kevin Killeen let me borrow at your service, apparently when KMOX signed on, they were getting letters from Australia. Australia. It was only 5,000 watts back then, but man, did it travel. Pretty amazing stories of where you could go. You know what I like to do when my wife and I are driving around the region and we're in an area we're normally not in? We love to look at the houses. We like to look at the neighborhoods. We like to guess how much the homes cost. I'm always wrong. There's some neighborhoods where it gets way up there. And I think to myself, my goodness, how can anyone afford that? But you would drive around and it's just fun to look. And there's different places you can go to. Like whenever we go to the hill, and we'll go to a place to eat. We like to walk around the neighborhoods because it's just so friendly and we like to see the other people sitting out, and everything looks so nice. They're super small yards. I mean, you probably couldn't even fit a baby pool in these yards. I mean, they're so small, but the homes look so beautiful. And it's just fun sometimes to see what's out there, to try the different neighborhoods. There's so many unique ones there. I love seeing the brick, too. So many great brick homes still remain. And that's why things like this are fun to talk about. Another great presentation coming up at the History Museum. It's this Thursday called Won't You Be My Neighbor, presented by Johnny Rabbit. Thank you so much for joining us again on Overnight America.
Ryan, it is an honor. Like you say, it's going to be a great program. Wait a minute. I hope it will be a great program. Thank you so much for having us on.
You had a really nice write-up in the paper, too.
I saw that. Joe Holloman was so kind to put that in there.
Yes.
My goodness, that's very nice of him. Because we want people to know about these things, to know what's going on. And in this program, Won't You Be My Neighbor? And it's neighborhoods, but neighborhoods are far, far more than buildings and streets and designs and architecture and the infrastructure. It's the people who hold things together, the people who keep everything cohesive in our greater St. Louis area, even though they are independent, unique neighborhoods. But the neighborhoods overlap. Like we live in St. Louis Hills, Lindenwood Park is just next to it. The hill is just a little farther. They all have their own identity, and the county as well. Like in our program, which is this Thursday at the History Museum, doors will open at 10. The program starts at 10:30 and runs to noon. We're going to have a lady from University City. Her name is Sue Reckoff. She's the president of the University City Historical Society, and she's going to concentrate on the Del Mar Loop. Now, everybody knows about the Loop and all the stuff that goes on there, and Joe Edwards' trolley cars and everything, streetcars dated back to, well, at least to 1902. So we're going to cover that and the people who populated that area and others as well. You know, I think of, I don't know if you, can I do a 30-second non-topic thing?
Ooh, off-topic, yes,
well,
please.
A little bit, because it's, you know, I've been talking about people. There was a prayer that Mr. Rogers wrote, 1971. It's you I like. Mm-hmm. It's about people. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair, but it's you I like, the way you are right now, the way down deep inside you. Not the things that hide you, not your toys. They're just beside you, but it's you I like, every part of you, your skin, your eyes, your feelings, whether old or new. I hope that you'll remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like. It's you yourself. It's you I like. And we can see this here in St. Louis all of the time, people helping each other, helping other neighbors. There was just a big fire in Rock Hill, a Woodward cleaning company, mostly rug cleaning, furniture cleaning. And there's a place called the Trainwreck Saloon right across the street. And that guy was so thankful that the firefighters are there and helped save his building as well. So he was helping them as a neighbor. And that's, I think this neighborhood concept is people helping each other. Sure, we're going to talk about Carrie Patch. We're going to show a great picture of 1874 St. Patrick's Day parade in Carrie Patch as an Irish neighborhood just north of downtown. But we'll talk about the people. We'll talk about the Irish people, how they got here, what their life was like before they moved out of that enclave, or in a sense a ghetto type thing rather than a neighborhood.
Wow. How many different neighborhoods are you going to look at?
Well, we're going to do Dogtown, which is technically Dogtown is not a true neighborhood. It's an Irish-based neighborhood, but it's Cheltenham, Tam, Clayton, so that combination. St. Louis Place and Old North St. Louis are a couple of adjoining neighborhoods, and College Hill, which is up at the Whitewater Tower in East Grand, so named College Hill because that was going to be when St. Louis U was moving out of downtown. That was their original choice of a location. And Chris Knopfziger, who has a wonderful website called St. Louis Patina, is going to talk about that area. Mm-hmm. And then we'll head south to the Compton Heights area. I'm going to show a picture of James Buchanan Eads, the guy who built the Eads Bridge, of his mansion on Compton Hill.
Buchanan, that's a name right there.
Yeah, right, it is. Ben Hilliker will talk about the Compton Heights mansions and the people.
Oh, cool.
And some of the characters that lived in some of these places. Andy Hahn will talk about Lucas Place, which is just a block from where we are. at the Park Pacific Building, which is now Locust Street, and the Campbell House Museum, and what life was like in that area, late 19th century, early 20th century. Gaslight Square, I've got some unique pictures that I've never shown before about Gaslight Square, which was that great entertainment mecca of St. Louis from the mid-50s to the late 60s. There will be people in these pictures, and which one of the things I really like, it's great to see a picture of a house or a building, but it's even better when you see a buggy or a car or a streetcar or just a kid selling newspapers in the corner to tie in the people that built this city. I know they're talking about connecting everything. We are connected. You know, wherever you live in St. Charles or Bridgeton or Belleville, we really have this people connection. So that's what we're going to try to do in this program. Oh, and I've got to mention, Emer Askins is a wonderful singer of Irish, authentic Irish songs, and she plays the Irish fiddle, too. Hmm. And she's going to open our show from 10 to 10:30. And then a gentleman named Kevin Walsh, he's just written a novel called Tribal Bonds, about the Irish in St. Louis, particularly the Dogtown Irish of the 1920s. I know I'm leaving a lot out, but I know you've got other things to do, but I just hope people will come to our program this Thursday morning. Doors will open at 10, lower level, Lee Auditorium, Missouri History Museum, and it's not supposed to rain, snow, or anything.
It's an added bonus. It is heated inside, isn't it?
I think there is heat, yes.
So you'll be fine. You'll be able to get inside nice and comfortable.
Right.
And really beautiful auditorium, and you put on an excellent show. Anyone I've ever been to, I've really enjoyed.
Thank you.
You really show some of these rare photos that you won't find anywhere else. You do a lot of digging, a lot of research for something like this. So when someone comes in and enjoys themselves, you're going to be able to walk away. And I love doing this. I'll walk away and I'll say, you know, next time I'm in a conversation, I'll be able to slip a little something I learned in there. It makes me sound really smart, like I lived here my whole life.
Well, that's good. That's the way it should be.
And so just park on Lindell, or if you get some availability in the lot, if you get there early enough.
Right.
But doors open at 10 o'clock, 10:30. The presentation starts this Thursday. Won't you be my neighbor? And with Mr. Rogers, it's fitting that the trolley is actually up and running by
the
time.
Yeah. It's perfect.
Now that for this specific presentation.
It sure is.
Johnny Rabbit, thank you so much for joining us here on Overnight America.
You bet, Ryan. Thank you.
He joins us on the Quiver River Electric guest line. I should knock on wood. Boy, you know, I say now that the trolley's up and running, but you never know. Anything could change between now and Thursday. Ooh. Hurts saying that. Hurts thinking it. I tell you what, I got some great people online. If you're one of those people that hopped on to help me immediately online, I posted up on Twitter that I'm just one review short of 30 reviews on iTunes, and if anyone had an iPhone, open up your podcast app on the Apple iPhone and search Overnight America. Give us a 5-star review. Say something nice about us. Subscribe to us. Whatever you can do. It really helps for the show to get exposure. So I posted up online, if we can get one more review, one more 5-star review, man, things would look great. And all kinds of people stepped up to the plate and started doing it. I tell you what, you guys are great. You guys are great. Now, did you like that neighborhood story? I have one for you that will maybe make you a little bit teary-eyed. Wait till you hear this. It was on CBS National Television this weekend. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America continues. Producer Ben is in some mood tonight with these different bumper musics here. What happened to the love songs? Man, out of the system. Oh, Mardi Gras. When's Mardi Gras? Is that soon? Oh, it's in 2 weeks. You're playing bumper music for Mardi Gras in 2 weeks away? Oh, man. All right. There's a story on CBS this weekend. 2-year-old deaf girl is the focus of this. I remember when my son was 2 and how enjoyable it was for him to reach that age where he starts to really understand more. He had to be real careful with a 2-year-old. I mean, you could say things and they'll just grab onto it, and they have so much wonder in their life, so much that they want to discover.
And when the parents of this two-year-old girl in Newton, Massachusetts, was raising her, she found they found that it was difficult for her to do the things she wanted to do because she couldn't communicate with people outside the home. The parents definitely knew how to communicate. You know, they have a child with the inability to speak, hear. Well, I guess they could speak, but just not hear. And they'll go out for walks like anyone would when it's nice out. And the girl would want to communicate with the other people in the neighborhood, a friendly little girl, but she couldn't because they didn't know how. They didn't know sign language. Well, that didn't last long. Listen to what this neighborhood decided to do for this two-year-old beautiful baby girl.
Her desire for engagement has been painfully obvious to everyone in the neighborhood. Whenever they see her on a walker in her yard and Sam tries to be neighborly, they find themselves at a frustrating loss for words.
I didn't know what to say back. Wouldn't you like to talk to her?
You know, basic conversation that one would have with a child.
Asking her about her day.
And make her feel that she is part of the neighborhood.
Just be her friend.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this isn't something you can solve with a casserole. You'd need the whole community to learn sign language, just for a little two-year-old girl. Can't expect neighbors to do that. You can only appreciate them when they do.
As soon as he said that, I tell you, I started tearing up. Can't expect the whole neighborhood to learn sign language for this one girl, can you?
Can't expect neighbors to do that. You can only appreciate them when they do.
So at this point of the story from CBS News, this is what happened. I started getting a little misty-eyed thinking, oh, what are they going to do? And then I started thinking about my neighborhood. Would I learn sign language for my neighbor's kids? Maybe. I guess if I was close enough. Would I learn sign language for... I mean, would I? I don't know. And I start to think about myself. And I think that I know some of the people I live around. I don't know everyone. You know, I know the people that are in my immediate vicinity, right? So I know the neighbors on each side. I know the neighbors across the street. And I could go a little bit further on each side. But then I know some people here and there, but not the whole block. And this neighborhood really did something extraordinary. They all got together and said, we're going to do this because we're neighbors.
On their own, Sam's neighbors got together, hired an instructor, and are now fully immersed in an American Sign Language class. The teacher, Reese McGovern, says this is remarkable. Because a lot of times, even the parents of deaf children don't bother to learn sign language.
Oh, come on. Is that true? Even the parents of deaf children fail to learn sign language? Come on now. That is disappointing. Very disappointing. I love interacting with my kid. I can't imagine you cutting yourself off from having those conversations with your kid. Oh, my goodness.
But here, Sam has a full community that's signing and communicating with her and her family, and it is a beautiful story.
And he says this level of inclusion will almost certainly guarantee a happier, more well-adjusted Sam, which is why her parents say there aren't words in any language.
So what's happening is they'll get together at someone's house. There's probably about 30 people inside this house. They got all the chairs set up inside, around couches and chairs and people sitting on stools and everything. And there's an instructor up front who is, there's almost a projection and a screen. And the person is just showing them and they're learning how to do sign language as a group, all of them on their own time together.
To express their gratitude.
It's really shocking and beautiful.
We are so fortunate.
In fact, they say they're already seeing a difference in their daughter.
You should see her when she comes in at the end of class.
The first thing she says to us is, friend.
Aww.
I think your heart would melt just as mine did.
I'm going to start crying all over again looking at this. All of these people care so much. This is a two-year-old. A two-year-old doesn't know that what they're doing is a huge sacrifice. A two-year-old doesn't really have a way to appreciate what's going on here. But those parents do. Could you imagine at the end of the night, you put your daughter to sleep and you're just alone with your spouse and you look and you just realize how much love there is in that neighborhood for these complete strangers that want to make things better for you. Wow. That's a neighborhood.
Sometimes it feels like America is losing its sense of community. But then you hear about a place like this, where the village it takes to raise a child is alive and well and here to remind us that what makes a good neighborhood is nothing more than good neighbors.
Aww.
Steve Hartman, On the Road, in Newton, Massachusetts.
Aww, that was such a good story. I'm so glad they did that story. And I'm looking at her. I mean, she's got the biggest smile on her face. It's just so heartwarming. Doesn't that inspire you to want to be better to your neighbors? Don't you hear something like that and say to yourself, man, what have I done? I need to do more than just wave every once in a while. You need to go over and talk to your neighbors. You know, could you imagine trying to organize the people you live by? Do you honestly think you would be able to convince all your other neighbors if you came up with this idea? Hey, we're going to do something nice for the little girl, Samantha. We're going to do something real nice. How about we all learn sign language so we can say hi to her? Do you think you'd be able to actually convince them that they should all take a class together on their own time, pay the money, all of that? Wow. Good for that group of neighbors. Every single one of them. Bless their hearts. We got a couple minutes here. Pee-wee calling in. Hey, what's going on?
Well, as always, I get a very educational discussion and forum from a kind gentleman. I don't even know what state and city you were born in, if I could ask.
I was born in Detroit, Michigan.
Well, Detroit City in the house. All right. Well, guess what? I think you understand what poverty is because your city has gone through an affliction like nobody's business. And guess where Smokey Robinson and his manager from Motown had their start? I believe it was in your hometown of Detroit, correct?
Oh, yeah, of course. Motown, sure.
Now, where would you put Smokey Robinson on your Mount Rushmore list, sir?
Oh, of what, like of all of music?
Sir, he just won the Gershwin Awards, but I wanted to hear humbly what you thought of him.
Oh, yeah, I liked him. I mean, I liked his music. He was influential. Now, I want to put him on, like, the Mount Rushmore, but...
Okay, all right, well, that's your flavor, and I understand that.
Yeah.
But you know who likes him a lot?
Who's that?
Pelosi.
Oh, is that right?
Well, how does Pelosi... PBS. Yeah. I love, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to make my point. Do you know how many people were sitting inside the Gershwin Awards, the highest honor you can get as a musician, and put you in the Library of Congress? I think everybody would agree that's a pretty big,
that's a big deal
for anybody.
Yeah, of course.
And you know what the greatest asset that Smokey has?
Hmm.
He has a higher power. And now I'm never going to tell you what higher power to go with because, you know, as I've learned in life, you don't disrespect other people's higher power. You just say, you know, that's not my flavor. But if you're in warfare and that wonderful man that does Full Metal Jacket as the military man, you know, with all the wonderful things, this is my rifle, this is my gun.
Mm-hmm.
You believe that man because he's been there and done that. And now as an actor, he's revered because people understand it. But one of the lines from another movie, I can't come off the top of my head, is that I don't care who you believe in. But we're outnumbered right now. Pray to whatever higher power you got because we need them all. We're outnumbered.
We need it all. Thanks, Pee-wee. Have a good night. Bye. Smokey Robinson. You know, one of the great musicians that just passed away, Tom Petty, there was an unreleased song that just was released. Maybe we'll play that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.